866, call now, give money.
877-500-5266.
Well, this morning on Locus Focus, we've been talking with Morris Isserman, author of A Continental Divide, A History of American Mountaineering. And next week, we'll be talking with Bob Yates, who's author of Earthquake Time Bombs. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed, or you want your family, your friends to hear the show, you can listen to it online or download the audio later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locusfocus. My engineer is Kate Welch. I'm Barbara Bernstein. We're going to go out with some music by the band. Thanks for listening and become a member of KBOO.
Well, and there we have only a short bit of the band. You have it tuned, KBOO Portland. You did hear it. Coming up is Voices for the Animals. Stay tuned for that.
KBOO would like to thank our community members that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Dambayan, located on 6014 Southeast Foster Road, serving traditional Filipino lunch and dinner Wednesdays through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, a Mexican restaurant at 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue, open Monday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to midnight or later. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, a Southeast Portland cafe open 7 days a week at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue.
This is David Barsamian, host of Alternative Radio, heard Tuesday mornings at 9 on KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Hood River, and Corvallis. I'm visiting Oregon in May and will appear in Portland on Friday, May 13th. I hope you can join me at the First Unitarian Church of Portland at 7 p.m. for this fundraising event for KBOO. Visit them online at kboo.fm for more information. I look forward to seeing you on my Saving the Planet tour.
You're listening to Voices for the Animals on your community-supported radio, KBOO Portland.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying her habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals. I'm Dab Stedman, your host, and my guest today is Scott Beckstead, the campaign director for Save Endangered Animals Oregon, a coalition of animal advocates who have come together to put an important animal protection measure on this November's ballot. Good morning, Scott, and thank you for coming on the program today.
Good morning, Dabs. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Okay, let's get right to it and hear all about this exciting ballot measure that you're in the process of getting qualified. Exactly what would it do and which animals would benefit from its passage into law?
Well, you know, let me start by saying that, you know, when I talk to Oregonians about animal welfare, we know that animal welfare matters to most Oregonians. And when you ask them to list what they consider to be the most serious animal welfare problems, the global poaching crisis and the extinction of some of our most iconic wildlife species is near the top of their list. And yet, so often people feel like there's nothing they can do. What can I do, for example, to stop the slaughter of African elephants for their ivory or the slaughter of rhinos for their horn? This measure is really an answer to that question. And what we want to do is put a measure on the ballot in November that would give Oregonians a chance to vote on imposing serious financial consequences on anyone who tries to traffic in these parts and products of endangered animals here in the state of Oregon. So that's what we're trying to accomplish.
So essentially it would put a ban on the purchase or sale of any kind of imperiled animal, not any kind, but 12 specific kinds of imperiled animal parts and products.
Yes, that's exactly right. So the measure would ban the commercial sale of these parts and products from 12 of the most critically types of endangered animals around the world. So for example, if someone was caught trying to sell rhino horn here in Oregon, they would be facing, in addition to whatever federal penalties there might be, they would also be facing some serious state level penalties, felony level fines that would obviously be, a serious consequence for them. So that's what we're trying to do. There are some exemptions, for example, for bona fide antiques and musical instruments and items that are used by native tribes.
Yes, a lot of people have been asking about that, so I'm glad to hear that there is an exemption for that.
Yes.
And also, I think for certain official employees of the Wildlife Service and so forth.
Right. And so what the measure does not do, it doesn't ban the mere possession of these items. So you can possess these items and you can give these items away. You can hand, for example, granddad's ivory-handled revolver down through your will or your trust, or grandma's ivory brooch. You can pass that down through your will or your trust. You can donate. You can gift. What you cannot do is sell these items and make a profit from them. And that's really what we're trying to do, is we're trying to identify the commercial market for these parts and products here in Oregon and shut it down.
Okay, so shut down commercial trafficking of these wildlife parts and products.
That's correct.
From 12 specific animal species.
Right.
Can I name those, or do you want to name them?
Yeah. So basically, any part or product from elephants, rhinos, several species of big cats, including tigers, lions, leopards, cheetahs, and jaguars, marine species, including manta rays, sharks, whales, and sea turtles, and then a very lovely and very curious little creature called the pangolin, also known as the scaly anteater.
Please tell us about the pangolin, because I know that even though I'm an animal person, I really wasn't familiar with that particular animal.
Many people ask about the pangolin because it's something that they've never heard of. The pangolin is a small anteater that is covered with very thick scales, and it is those scales provide a marvelous protection against, hyenas and lions and other predators. But of course, against high-powered rifles and wire neck snares, they provide zero defense at all. The reason why pangolins are included in the list is that they are the most heavily trafficked mammal species in the world, and they are absolutely on a collision course with extinction if we don't do something right away to stop it. They are poached for their scales, which are used to make garments, but the scales are also ground up and used in traditional folk remedies in Southeast Asia, and they're also poached for their meat. And they're a small slow-moving type of animal, so they really are quite defenseless against these hunters.
They don't have a chance.
And so but they're a wonderful creature, and we feel it's important to do what we can to protect them as well.
Okay, you gave us a specific example, but generally speaking, how is it determined which animals should receive protection under this ballot measure?
Well, we wanted to make sure that we were including the types of animals that are the most imperiled by the global poaching crisis. And so the species that I just listed are the animals that are the most heavily trafficked and that are suffering the most and are at the greatest risk of extinction as a result of being poached for and commercialized for their products. So that's how we arrived at those types of animals.
Okay. As we said earlier, Save Endangered Animals Oregon is actually a coalition of groups.
Right.
Which organizations are part of this effort, and who are your chief petitioners?
Well, let's start with the chief petitioners. We wanted to identify some very strong leaders within the state of Oregon to serve as our chief petitioners. So we've got three. We've got Congressman Earl Blumenauer, who is a very passionate advocate for wildlife conservation and animals in general. He's part of our he's part of the Congressional Animal Welfare Caucus in Washington, D.C. So he has made animal protection a top priority.
Yes, he's been a friend of animals in Oregon for
always,
a long time.
Always. So we have him. And then we have Bruce Starr. Bruce is a former state senator. A strong and proud Republican who feels very passionately about animal welfare, and so Bruce is working as a chief petitioner as well, and then we've got Tom Hughes. Tom is the president of Metro Council, which of course owns and operates the Oregon Zoo, and the Oregon Zoo Foundation is a strong supporter of this measure and one of our top leading coalition partners.
Okay, and how many signatures are needed to qualify an initiative here in Oregon, and when is your deadline?
We have to submit just over 88,000 signatures, valid signatures, to qualify the measure for the ballot, and that has to be turned in by July 8th. Having said that, because a certain number of your signatures will be invalidated by the Secretary of State, we've set a goal of 126,000 signatures, and we have set June 27th as our deadline for getting those, so that we've given ourselves plenty of time. That by you know, going far beyond just the bare minimum, we're hoping to build a cushion so that we easily qualify for the total number that is being required. So 126,000 by June 27th.
That's a lot of signature gathering.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know that these rainy weekends probably haven't been helping that effort.
Well, yeah, it's but you know, it's amazing to see the dedication and commitment of our volunteer signature gatherers, and you know, they are out there in the bad weather and in the rain, and still doing their part to gather signatures, and of course, this is really probably our greatest need right now. We need more people out on the streets to gather signatures, and we would if there's anyone who's willing to give even an afternoon, a couple hours on at their local farmers market or at the Oregon Zoo or some other public place where there's a lot of traffic. If you're interested, then please go to www.saveanimalsoregon.com and go to the volunteer button, and you can find out how to help there.
Okay, great. And just in case some of our listeners don't know, who is eligible to sign a petition initiative?
So any registered Oregon voter is going to be qualified to sign the petition. Now, you don't have to be a registered voter to gather signatures, but you do have to be a registered Oregon voter to sign.
Okay, thanks for answering that. We'll be right back to hear more about this ballot measure after you listeners have had a chance to phone in your support for this program. Please ask about the thank you gifts to KBOO membership donors, including a copy of the book Kindred Beings by Portland's favorite veterinarian and former guest on this program, Dr. Sherry Speed. So please listen to this message from my fellow KBOO members, Ani and Bill, and call us soon.
Call us now. What the heck? Get it over with, because you know that this is a wonderful show to support. Dab Stedman here giving you many reasons to support KBOO this morning. This ballot measure is a super important thing, and you're hearing about it here on KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. It's 877-500-5266.
And how about if I wanted to... I didn't want to talk to anybody. What would I do?
If you wanted to do it sort of in a more quiet way, sort of all by yourself there, and maybe you're already online and it's just going to be simpler, well, KBOO.FM. Maybe you're listening online right now, in which case, just go ahead and let your cursor inch up over there towards the support button and know that you are doing your part to keep information coming to you that you can use, that will inspire, that keeps us together, that keeps us taking right action to change the world.
And what if I wanted that book, for instance? What would I do?
Well, there are a few different things. Right now, there's Kindred Beings, It's a book by Dr. Sherry Speed. I think we'll be hearing a little bit more about that in just a bit. And that would be yours for a $60 contribution to KABU Community Radio, a minimum of $60. There are many reasons to join. You just heard about this petition trying to safeguard wildlife from being exploited for their body parts. And you know how Oregon is actually, if we get this in Oregon, we can lock up the entire West Coast. That is good information for you to have. And right now, you know, KABU's program charter bill, it talks about giving a voice to disenfranchised communities, to those left out of corporate-owned press. And I got to say, Voices for the Animals really does give a voice to those that cannot use the microphones for themselves. And I
or
think
at least
that's,
not in voices that we would understand.
And I think that that's a wonderful thing. And we thank Deb and we thank Courtney for really putting the show together and letting us know what's going on, that we can work in partnership with other beings on the planet. And that is so important. Please do give us a call and support this community effort. 877-500-5266. We're looking to raise $300 this morning in this next hour, and with your help, we can do it. 877-500-5266. Online, KBOO.FM.
On the street, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland.
You can come in. You can get a tour of the station. We'd love to show you how to get involved as a volunteer or just show you how radio is made. You can meet the folks behind the scenes and really see KABU from a whole new perspective. Drop on by. We're just between Burnside and Ankeny on Southeast 8th Avenue. You can do the ever popular public transportation, or we have these beautiful bike racks outside the station. You can come on by however you get here, or maybe it's easier right now for you to pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. With your $20 a month contribution, we'd love to give you a pair of tickets to go see Amy Goodman as she comes to town on Sunday, May 8th at the Aladdin. And that is a 7:30 talk time, and your contribution of $240, that's just $20 a month, can get you a pair of tickets to go see Amy Goodman the beginning of May. 877-500-5266, the number to call. And Bill, it looks like you've got more to say.
I do have more to say. I wanted to remind everyone about Kindred Beings by Dr. Sherry Speed. That's only $60 minimum. That's $5 a month, and you get this very interesting book. It says, an inspiring adventure story about the trials and tribulations that Dr. Speed had to overcome in order to keep her promise to three abused chimps.
And we'll be hearing more about that in just a little bit.
And by the way, also, for a minimum $60 pledge, there's a DVD film from Suffering to Satori, and we'll tell you more about that.
Also,
but we need to go back to our program.
877-500-5266. Go ahead and keep your support coming into KABU. This is the spring membership drive. We're so glad to be with you. And right now, just go ahead and make those phones ring one more time. 877-500-5266.
We're back with Scott Beckstead of Save Endangered Animals Oregon, talking about the important animal protection measure his coalition is trying to qualify here for the November ballot. Scott, please tell us, what is the current situation in Oregon regarding the sale of wildlife parts and products? And don't our state laws already prohibit this type of activity?
Well, it's important to distinguish between how Oregon law treats native wildlife. So in other words, the deer and the elk and the black bear and the cougar and the wildlife that lives here in Oregon versus the imperiled species in other nations that are being poached and trafficked internationally. And that this latter piece is what we're addressing with this ballot measure. We are trying to help global wildlife with this ballot measure. But let me talk just briefly about the native wildlife, because poaching of our native wildlife here in Oregon is a very serious problem. In fact, the Humane Society of the United States, who I work for, we estimate that at least as many wild animals here in Oregon are being illegally poached as are taken legally by licensed hunters. So it's a serious problem. But in the last legislative session, a coalition of groups that included both hunting organizations and animal welfare and natural conservation groups all came together and crafted a bill that actually significantly strengthens the penalties for poaching here within Oregon. So I just want to put that out there.
That's good to hear. And that kind of goes in tandem with the ballot measure.
Exactly, exactly. Because it's all one. In fact, we know that a lot of the poaching that's being done here in Oregon, those parts and products from these animals are being taken overseas. So for example, a man was arrested at the Eugene Airport with 40 black bear gallbladders. He was going to fly to China to try and sell them. So it's a problem, and it's obviously we know that the global wildlife trafficking is the fourth most economically large criminal endeavor in the world.
Oh, that's amazing.
After drug trafficking and human trafficking and drug trafficking, wildlife trafficking is, many, many, many billions of dollars every year.
Incredible.
And so we're trying to make sure that Oregon does its part to shut this down.
Okay, well, that's more or less what I was going to ask you, but more specifically about what's happening in Oregon.
Sure.
Do we have any idea of the volume or the monetary value of the wildlife parts being commercially traded here? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question, but it's very hard to answer because it's illegal,
yeah.
And so we don't really know. But we do know that anecdotally it's a problem. And for example, last summer we learned about an antique show that was going to be happening here in the Portland area. And we suspected that there might be illegal ivory there. So we sent two people there just to kind of see what they could see. And sure enough, they get there and there's a gentleman with a whole table of ivory. And they asked him, is this all legal? And he said, what you see here is illegal. But if you want to see my illegal stuff, I'll take you, back in the back room. And sure enough, they went back there and he has a whole large selection of illegal ivory, and they asked him, is there really a demand for this? And he said, yes, here in Oregon, there's a very strong demand.
All right, and that's my very next question is, have we identified who is doing the trafficking and who are the buyers here creating the market demand for these imperiled animal products?
You know, there's just a certain segment of the population who thinks it's exciting to buy something exotic like that, and as long as there is that kind of market, there will be people who are willing to fill that niche.
We always want what we're not supposed to have, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And to underscore the importance of passing this measure, we're going to have to discuss in more detail exactly what's been happening to these 12 species of animals in their native habitats.
Right.
So very many animals covered by this measure are dying terrible deaths.
Yes.
So can you please describe some of the methods used by animal poachers to obtain tusks, horns, skins, and other valuable body parts?
Well, I think... For the large megafauna creatures, and I'm talking about elephants, rhinos, and big cats, the methods used by these poachers are beyond horrendous. For example, the poachers who are going after elephants are now resorting, they have access to helicopters and machine guns to slaughter entire family groups of elephants, and they've even poisoned entire water holes.
Which would kill not only the elephants, but
everything else. So, and what's horrible, of course, is that poisons not just the mature elephants with tusks, but also the babies without tusks.
Next generation.
Yeah, exactly. And elephants are slow to reproduce. So by wiping out an entire family of elephants, you're really having a major impact on the recovery of this species.
And I've heard also that sometimes chainsaws are used to cut off tusks or horns.
Right, right. They will basically hack off an elephant's entire face.
Sometimes when that animal isn't even dead.
Right, right. And the same with rhinos too. Yeah. We've seen rhinos out there that have been shot and had the horns cut off with chainsaws, and yet they're still alive. It's a terrible terrible thing to do.
Yeah, I hate to talk about it, but it's important to know.
Yeah, well, so I mean, you know, it is.
We know we have to support this ballot measure. We have to try to stop this thing.
It's very, very unpleasant to talk about, but it's also the reason why we're doing what we're doing.
Of course. And another reason, and it's sort of associated with this whole process, it's been reported that there is a definite link between wildlife poachers and worldwide terrorism.
Right.
Can you please explain this connection?
Well, yes, because the trade in endangered animal parts is so lucrative, terrorist organizations such as Al-Shabaab and the Lord's Resistance Army and the Janjaweed have all identified wildlife trafficking as an important source of revenue. So they will actually provide the poachers with the weapons and the poisons and, you know, all of the tools to kill these animals, and then the poachers turn around and give part of their revenue back to the terrorist organization. And these are some of absolutely the most vicious criminal enterprises in the world. These are groups that are specifically trying to destabilize vulnerable African governments, terrorize entire populations of people within Africa. And there is, you know, the link between the wildlife trafficking and terrorism is clearly established. And so, you know, it really does make
way
this,
beyond killing the animals and trading their body parts.
It is a matter of national security. Yeah. It absolutely is.
Oh, boy. And how about the countries where these animals live? What impact is the decimation of their native wildlife having on those countries?
Well, it depends on the country. And I'd really love to have my friend Jim Karani here to talk about this, because Jim is a wildlife conservation attorney from Kenya, who's here studying animal law at Lewis and Clark Law School, and he talks about this very eloquently, and he's extremely knowledgeable. But it depends on the country. So, for example, Kenya has a very aggressive effort to combat poaching and has a zero tolerance for the ivory trade. But there are other governments and countries in Africa that are very corrupt, that get a lot of money from the poachers. And so, you know, it sort of is a patchwork approach right now. And it really depends on the country that you're talking about.
Yes, and it must affect tourism to a certain extent.
And so, you know, when you listen, for example, to my friend Jim Karani from Kenya, when you hear him talk, you know, he talks about how an African elephant brings in $1.6 million of tourism revenue over the course of its lifetime. So $1.6 million per elephant. That's how important these animals are to the economy of a very poor country like Kenya. Whereas that same elephant, if it is killed for its tusks, you know, maybe tens of thousands of dollars at most. So the economic impact,
the long-term economic impact doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
People living hand to mouth, it probably seems like a pretty good deal
for exactly, them. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Okay. We have time for one more quick question before break. I wanted to ask you if our federal government is addressing this horrific trafficking problem in any substantive way.
Well, yes. In fact, President Obama joined with the president of China recently to announce a significant upgrade in the level of effort by both countries to shut down the ivory market. China has made some important announcement recently about shutting down the domestic ivory market in China. China is the largest market for endangered animal trafficking, and the United States is number two.
Yes, I think a lot of people are surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
We're number two.
Yeah, so it's important. The leaders of both of the number one and number two countries have stepped up. And yes, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has announced new rules to strengthen trafficking of endangered animal parts and products. And so this ballot measure is really in step with what is happening both at the national level and at the international level. So, you know, this is an opportunity for Oregonians to be part of a global effort and a national effort to shut down wildlife trafficking.
Great. Before I turn the mic over to Ani and Bill again, I wanted to mention that the DVD gifts of the movie From Suffering to Satori were donated by my co-host, the co-host of this program and local filmmaker, Courtney Scott. It's an account of her personal awakening to the plight of animals in our world. And I've seen the film, and I can say from my own experience that it's definitely well worth seeing. So call now to pledge your membership support and ask for a copy of Courtney's movie.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to our listeners and donators. And thank you to the donators who are about to call 877-500-5266. And thank you to those who are going to kbo.fm to donate. You are all wonderful, or will be very soon.
That's right. For you about to contribute, we salute you. 877-500-5266. It's the number to call. You are listening to a very important conversation this morning. It's hard information to listen to, and yet it's important information to listen to. We give you news. You know, the commercial stations, they just sort of want to keep you listening, so they want to make it super easy listening, celebrity news and sort of, nutritionless sort of junk food consumption of information. That's not what you get here on KBOO. What we give you is news that is super important, that is actually vital to this world and this planet, that we actually are able to use and take right action in our lives to make the world a better place. That is at the heart in the values of our program charter. Those values are peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. Those are the values we program around. Those are the values we organize around. And right now, because you share those values, I know you're going to support this radio station that really promotes those values throughout our programming throughout the day. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can contribute monthly, just $5 a month or more. If you are somebody who can give a dollar a day, that is a fantastic way to support KBOO. Call right now with your support of $30 a month. It adds up to $360 in the course of a year, and that is fantastic. We would love to hear from you and be a KBOO hero with a dollar a day support for your community radio station. We're looking to raise about another $200 here for Voices for the Animals, and if you did that dollar a day, you'd put us over the top. Our spring membership drive is going great, but we're still missing you. 877.
I miss you.
500-5266.
I miss you so much. Why aren't you calling? 877-500-5266.
Or online, kboo.fm.
Or on the street, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just a hop, skip, and a jump from the 12, the 19, and the 20 bus lines. So we want you to call.
We're also just a couple blocks from the streetcar, a couple blocks from the number 6. We are really kind of centrally located.
We are indeed.
We've got great bike racks out front made by our very own DJ, Dave Elliott, who is an iron worker and